Welcome to the DIA podcast series. We're coming to you high above Hamilton Street in the Dalton Innovation Accelerator at the historic landmark building overlooking downtown Dalton, Georgia. I'm Bob Caverton. Joining me is Barry Slaymaker. Our guest today is one of the most talked about people in Dalton, Casey Carpenter. Since 2001, Casey has been changing the face of Dalton. At just 26 years old, he purchased what would once again become the Oakwood, one of the most popular locally owned restaurants in Dalton. In 2014, he purchased Walnut Hill Farm, the most popular wedding venue in Northwest Georgia. In 2016, he opened Cherokee Brewing and Pizza, one of the most popular lunch and dinner spots in downtown Dalton. In 2017, he was elected by popular vote to represent District 4 in the State House of Representatives as a Republican. And in 2020, Casey and his wife, Julie, plan to open The Carpentry, a 30-plus unit hotel in downtown Dalton, right across from the Oakwood Cafe. If you're sensing the pattern that I am, it seems a foregone conclusion it'll become Dalton's most popular hotel. Casey, you're obviously quite popular. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks.
You are the quintessential entrepreneur. I think about it frequently. Dalton is lucky to have you.
Appreciate that.
I've got to know, how do you find the time between 3 to 5 businesses, 3 to 5 children, a 35-plus-inch waist, and 3 to 5 boards in state government? I mean, how do you do it?
Well, I mean, I think just like any business, you know, you got to have good people. And so I think we've got a great group of folks that work for us at all our places. And so they kind of enable me to take on special projects is what I always say. So like you said, the Carpentry is our newest venture. And then, of course, the State House was a big venture. So without the good people that we have, it'd be impossible at the end of the day.
Casey, I think a lot of people locally are fairly familiar with your story. You know, you came from an entrepreneurial family, quite the athlete from my understanding with you, even though you have a 38 inch waist now, maybe
38 feels real good. Let's just put it that way.
I can relate.
Wrestled what, probably heavyweight, play a little nose tackle.
Oh maybe. Yeah. So now I was much smaller. Actually, I wrestled 130. My senior year, I wrestled 130 and I played football at 165. So I got to experience being a little heavy during football season, and then I didn't eat for 3 months following. So it's I had a decent career in football. Wrestling was more of my sport because I was a smaller kid growing up. So it was great. I mean, I loved it. It kind of set my mentality up for kind of what the world's brought me. And so it gives me a little tough mentality, and being able to starve for 3 months can help you do a lot of things.
Oh yeah. Now, after high school, a little time at UT Knoxville and then at UGA, is that right?
That's right. I went to UT Knoxville. I grew up a Tennessee fan. Don't tell anybody. never mind, this is a podcast. Yeah. We're telling everybody. But, yeah, I spent a semester in Knoxville. I lived off campus, so I didn't really get the feel for it. All my buddies were at UGA. And so I came back home, went to Dalton State for a semester, and then I started the following fall down in Athens. So.
During that time, and you, up until the time when you came back to Dalton, I mean, those formative years, how did they set you up for success in business where you are now and kind of what you were doing when you first came back to Dalton?
You know, my mom was in the TCBY/sandwich shop business while I was growing up. And so she had a really good business on Walnut Avenue for years and years and years. And so she had an established customer base. And so it was through that relationship, I mean, through that customer base that we were able to kind of make this thing go, if you will. She wasn't great with numbers, but she was really good with people and sales. And so we just, it kind of got our foot in the door so that when I studied finance at Georgia, I came back, I was able to evaluate, hey, you're doing great top line business, but your bottom line sucks. And so I think that was the key. I think she established a great precedence for me.
Mm-hmm. So almost immediately out of college, I guess during college would be the best way to put it, you're thrown into the fire to take over your mom's business?
Yeah, so basically this is how it worked. I'd upset my dad, and rightfully so, when I was in college. And so he had a business, and so I couldn't go work for him. He had at that point cut me off, and so I was in kind of no man's land as far as financing goes. And so my mom really needed my help at that point. So I took over her business. I basically signed the note that she owed the money on. I think she owed 5 times what the assets were.
You can imagine. 22 years old?
21.
21 years old.
And so at that point,
Do you mind saying how much the note was for?
Yeah, it was $160,000. It was, and at that point, the bank realized, well, I say that note, that was one of the notes. I think it was a total of $200,000. And so at that point, the bank realized that their only shot was to find somebody else to get on this note. And
yeah,
so
they don't want to be an operator.
No. And you know, restaurant equipment sells for like 10 cents on the dollar. So it was really their last ditch effort for them. So I signed on because I was a dumb young kid that didn't know any better. And I didn't really, I mean, I had options, but I just didn't pursue them. And so I changed my class schedule to Tuesday and Thursdays that following semester. And so I would work in Dalton Friday through Monday, go to school Tuesday, come back, work Wednesday, and then go back to school on Thursday. Had a really good buddy of mine that still lived down there, and his parents would let me stay with him while I was down there on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And it kind of worked out.
Did it work out immediately?
No.
No,
it was 3 years of...
3 years.
Yeah, it was 3 years. After graduation, another 2.5 years or 2 years of just working 90 hours a week. Me and my mom shared a house to help with the rent. You know, you work 90 hours a week, and your girlfriend / soon to be your wife was a waitress, and that was your spending money, was her tips to go out and try to be young kids when you had a chance. So it was a lot of grit. It was a rough time.
I bet. That's
tough work.
I mean, you know, you know, at the end of the day, when you're, there's only so much business you can do out of a little spot, and when you owe $200,000 roughly on it, it's
tough. that was on Walnut Avenue and Dug Gap.
Right, yeah, there? This is right behind the Walgreens.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's right next to. There's a phone repair shop there. I specialize.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, so, yeah. Okay.
That's where it was.
Well, take us, if you don't mind, from that initial kind of try at business that I guess after 3 years. Obviously worked to the opportunity at the Oakwood. I think people would be particularly interested in how you saw that, you know?
Well, I think the biggest thing was everybody in Dalton used to eat at the Oakwood. And so we all had the nostalgic background of the Oakwood, and we hated that it closed in 2001. A sandwich shop from Calhoun had come up and bought the building and refurbed it some and opened up, but it just wasn't the same feel. And so their business was not what it could have been. And so they decided to close in 2004. And we had told them that if they were ever going to close, we'd be interested in buying the building. And so that was back in the Wildcat days. So you could actually buy a building with no money down and the owner could take a second for 20%. And so literally you would go in, I bought that building, and because of prorated property taxes, I actually got a check leaving closing.
Wow.
So, I mean, it wouldn't happen. I mean, it was just like the stars were aligned. It wouldn't happen in today's world. But back then, so literally we opened the Oakwood with about $35,000. And 30 of that was for our POS system because it was a real state of the art.
It was 2004.
Yeah. So we were pretty much, we were the first restaurant in the state of Georgia to use wireless POS system where it basically went straight to the kitchen. And so that was literally 30 of the $35,000. So we were still operating the restaurant on Walnut Avenue. And so at night after we would open there, I would go down and we would pull the carpet up in the old restaurant because carpet in restaurants nasty. Sorry, I love carpet. But and so it was a wild time. And we opened, and the first week we were open, we had like three waitresses, and it was just... You know, we were just kind of rolling with it, and just everybody was working real hard and had a great crew. But we've just always able to, you know, it had an instant success. If it had been a restaurant that maybe was slow to start, we'd have never made it. We didn't have the cash.
And that's from me as a frequent customer to your restaurants. It seems like you always get it right from day one. Like when Cherokee opened, from an outside perspective as a customer, it seemed seamless. It seemed like they already had the protocol, the processes, the technology was... It's critical to get that right, particularly in that business from day one, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of things we do, we wing it, but we all just work hard, and we've had enough experience at this point that maybe it appears that we're seamless, but, you know, behind the scenes, it's maybe not so seamless.
Yeah.
But I think we see the same thing out at Walnut Hill. The customers always see seamless, but it could be a bonanza in the back, mm-hmm. and you don't have a clue. So as long as you're working hard and smiling, most people will kind of give you the benefit of the doubt. So.
When did you make the attempt for Forest Park with the Oakwood? I know that was pretty early on.
Yeah, it was actually. So 04, we opened the Oakwood in the fall, and then this was 06. So, you know, things were going pretty good at the Oakwood. We felt pretty good about the business. And so this opportunity, my wife was from Atlanta, and so we had eaten at this restaurant. And it was very similar to the Oakwood, and it had that kind of nostalgic feel to it. So it just seemed like a perfect step. You know, to do what we've done, go in and bring back old restaurants and, you know, bring a new technology, bring a different, faster paced model. But, you know, that was 10 years of penance down there. It was a tough place to hire. So it was a good lesson in maybe you don't have your stuff together like you think you do. So it was a nice lesson. All four of my kids could probably go to Princeton by the time I, what I have invested in that place. So, but it was good. Look, when we left, I mean, Oakwood was doing a lot of business, what we thought, and it's, I mean, after we left and added menu items and did some things because of that other restaurant, it just kind of, it helped us grow here as well over time. So, you know, it all worked out, but, it, you know, school's expensive, but life lessons are way more expensive, no doubt about it.
It's an expensive way to learn, but it's really the only way to to make it. Yeah,
it's the only way I've ever learned
to learn those lessons.
So. Talk to us about Walnut Hill, if you don't mind.
Yeah, Walnut Hill, man, it's a big place. It's a beautiful, beautiful location. You know, Joe and Nanette Yarborough had that place, and they invested a ton of money, and it looks beautiful, and it's really a priceless scene out there. It's tough though. I mean, it's tough sledding because it's the overhead so high on the property that it just takes a lot. We do about 40 weddings a year, and that's pretty much what it takes to make the thing go. So, you know, we opened that thing thinking we would do a whole lot more corporate business during the week, but it's just never materialized. I don't, for right, wrong, or indifferent, we just never have figured that piece out. So we added lodging about a year and a half ago. So we have like we got 10 rooms on site, which helps. But, you know, it's just one of those things. 15 years, it'll be paid off, and we'll all be it'll be a little easier then, probably.
Yeah, because I think everyone thinks you're just getting rich.
No, it's not. It's got some tax advantages from a deduction standpoint, but no, we're not getting rich out there for sure. But, you know, in 15 years, when, or it'd be 11 years now when it's paid for, it'll be a lot easier.
You're 3-4 years in there, is that
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be 5 years. In the fall.
Really?
Yeah.
So, I mean, what lessons are you learning out there with that? Because it's hospitality still, but it's different than what you've been doing.
It is different. So our biggest lesson out there was the lead times of special events. You know, in the restaurant business, I'm hungry, I'm going to go to the Oakwoods. You don't, there's not a lot of lead time in a lunch business. Wedding business is a year lead time. So we set up and we were, you know, when you buy the place, you're already behind because whatever you got coming forth hadn't been established, right? See, that first year you're doing spot weddings here and there, but you know, you don't have the docket full. So that first year was a big lesson, and just the continual change of pattern. So like right now, 2019 is going to be a slower year because everybody that's getting married is thinking 2020 because it sounds cool. Mm. And so next year's filling up quick, but this year's kind of lagging. Everybody's kind of punting to 2020. So there's a lot more trends in it than there is in the day-to-day restaurant business.
I read recently that there's been just this huge gain in the percentage of weddings that are happening at farms and at outdoor venues. Like, I guess your timing was good in that regard, but yeah, you are at the mercy of a number of trends now.
Yep, that's right. And
how do you stay ahead of those?
Well, I mean, I just think you do the best you can. I think just like in the restaurant business, you try to establish a reputation around the state. Because, you know, I would say 75-80% of our weddings are outside of Dalton, of people coming in from outside of Dalton.
That's amazing. I would never have guessed that.
So you got Nashville, Chattanooga, Birmingham, Atlanta. That's kind of where a lot of the folks come from because – and so you try to stay ahead, but, you know, I think weddings are going to become a little bit more modern. So we're going to have to change our look a little bit to kind of stay with it because they do. They change. Things change. But the thing that doesn't change is the scene, the 55 miles of mountain range, the quality of service, the quality of food that we provide, all those things. If those are constant over time, people remember, hey, I was at a wedding 5 years ago. If you're getting married, you need to come out here because the food was awesome. The scene was awesome. And so those things are timeless, but you do kind of have to stay on the trend side.
And then if Walnut Hill wasn't enough, you decided to open yet another restaurant. So, but thankfully, I mean, two doors down from where you are right now at the Oakwood. So tell me about Cherokee. Kind of what's the thought there? I mean, we know what it's become. It's a cool location, one of the coolest places for people to go in town. But what was the thought there?
So it's funny. In 16, I guess, I ran against an incumbent for State House, and I lost. And so I had already kind of scheduled everything that spring. I kind of, set the table so that if I did win, I'd be able to go to Atlanta. And so when I didn't win, I was a little upset for a while. And then I said, all right, so what are we going to do? Because we got some time on our hands. And so we had owned the building for quite some time. It was just storage. And we always knew that we wanted to open a pizza restaurant at some point. We had a good contact with some vendors that we really thought had a great product. And so we set out to just to open a pizza restaurant. And then we went in May of that year. We had gone to NRA, actually the week before the election, National Restaurant Show. And we met these guys that had this really awesome brewing system. And we're like, well, pizza, brew pub, we don't have one. That's awesome. And so after the election a week later and it didn't work out, I called the brewer guys up and I said, hey, we might be interested in your system. And so all this pretty much happened from, we were open in November. So we had totally refurbed the building, all the equipment in, shipped pizza ovens over from Italy, and we were open, ready to go in November. I mean, it was just like a shotgun wedding.
Yeah.
It was on. And so that brewing system, I think was special. Because we didn't know anything about brewing beer. We all like to drink beer, but we didn't know that much about it. So the system was perfect for us. It kind of helped with the learning curve.
Yeah.
And it fit in the room. I mean, it kind of fit it doesn't take up a lot of space and stuff like that. So it was just one of those things. We just kind of saw it and we shot for it. And sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. So that it's been a winner. I mean, we've been real pleased with it. The key to anything is service and product. If you're serving a good product and you got good service, you can, you got a good shot at it.
So. And then why in the world? I don't know how you have enough damn time to do this, but you decided to run again and got elected this time. Why?
Well, I think that Bruce retired. That's who beat me the first time. Great guy. And so when he retired, I felt like, I had ran a pretty good race, a pretty clean race against him. And, really the whole thing came out of me and my wife went through Leadership Georgia in 14, maybe. I think so. I'm supposed to know that. I'm supposed to say best class ever. Yeah. But, and so 2014, and it opened my eyes to the importance of having a state vision, not just a local vision, because we've always had a good local vision. We've been involved with Leadership Dalton, of course, and just about every organization in town. But the statewide vision was something that I learned during that class and how important it was. And so I really formed some relationships in Atlanta at that point and just kind of felt like I had some value to add for our community. And so that's why I did it. Plus, that time of year is the slower time of year for restaurants. So we don't do a lot of weddings before March. It's kind of January, February, real slow in the restaurant business. So it matched my schedule more so than local politics would. Plus, in local politics, every decision you make makes one of your customers mad. So you just, over time, being in the retail business and being in local politics is tough. Okay. Whereas in Atlanta, you most people agree with what you do. So
I remember seeing your first campaign sign come up, which we actually have, I think, some of your campaign signs still at our office. Need to get those back to you. And I thought, he's crazy. He's got all of these other businesses going on. What's he going to do for 60 days every year? I mean, is he just going to hand these off to somebody and let somebody else run his baby?
It's got to be tough. Yeah, it's tough. But, they, like I said before, it's the crew. I mean, I got Matt at Walnut Hill. He's a rock star. He requires very little. Actually, I go out there and water the grass sometimes. That's pretty much my extent at Walnut Hill. And Natalie here at the Oakwood. And then I got a Barry and Austin over here at Cherokee. So we just got a good group of leadership. They need, like anything, they need coaching up at some points, but they really do a good job kind of protecting the brands at each place. So.
Now, I'd be remiss, since you're a politician, not to ask about your voting record.
Okay.
But I'm not going to ask about specific votes. But okay. I did notice something interesting when I was going through this today.
I don't even know what the voting record is, so I'm interested to hear how it works.
Did you know that on the votes in 2019, you voted yes or yay 87% of the time? And no only 2% of the time?
I did not know that, but I can tell you that when you're in the majority – and most of the bills that get brought to the floor are brought by the majority, because they're, at the end of the day, they're just not letting anything. It's been vetted in committee, yeah, and vetted in rules, mm-hmm, and it's just not going to come to the floor at that point unless it's the majority of the majority agrees, mm-hmm, with it. So, you know, there's just not a lot of things that, you know, I'm pretty an agreeable guy. And so, you know, unless it's something out there on the fringe, which probably not, mm-hmm, going to come to the floor anyway, I can probably rationalize agreeing with it.
Now, the other 11% of the votes, it says that you either abstained, other, or skipped. What does that mean?
I imagine I was off of the floor when the vote happened. Is what they
said. So that's the way they.
You can't.
The
yeah. So if you're in your seat, you have to vote.
Gotcha.
So if you see somebody's off the 11%, then I'm out doing politic and working on my bills. And so I spent a lot of time this year, especially working on that Dalton Utilities bill. That's, I think, is really important for our community. And so I spent a lot of time offline, you know, during session, because a lot of times there's stuff going on in the Senate, and you're having conversations all over the place trying to get it across the finish line.
Gotcha. I did call into the Capitol for you and called a maintenance request to get your no button fixed so you can vote no a little
more. Yeah, I mean, like, there's some guys that vote no every time. I'm not that guy. Yeah. I think, like I said, you know, most of the time, it's by the time we're voting on it, it's a loaded question.
Gotcha. Makes sense. I think you're done with the political grilling,
so
right?
That's the extent of the political grilling.
No worries.
So talk to us about the carpentry right across from the Oakwood. You've put a big hole in the side of the building. Tell us about from the front end, just where you see the opportunity and how you plan on that progressing.
Yeah, I mean, we bought the building. It's probably been a year and a half ago. Really needed the parking for the Oakwood. Knew that we'd wanted, so a good friend of ours that we met in Leadership Georgia down in Albany has a bunch of local restaurants, and then he bought a hotel in town. And so he's got this whole little hospitality thing going on down there, and it's really pretty awesome. And so it kind of inspired me. That's kind of what...
Do you mind sharing his name? I think I've heard about that.
Yeah, it's Bo Henry. Bo Henry, and him and he's got a partner and his wife, Kate. And so it really inspired me after going through our experience in Forest Park. And then we also had a stint with yogurt shops where we opened the Sweet Spot in town, and then we opened some out of town, and the Sweet Spot did well here and didn't do well in Calhoun and Cartersville. So we kind of started saying, well, maybe we're just successful here and not anywhere else. And I saw his model where he had a bunch of three or four different kinds of restaurants in the same town. And so that kind of spurred Cherokee a little bit. But then his hotel we stayed at kind of said, in the back of my mind, I said, at some point I'm going to have a hotel in Dalton, just to kind of, you know, you got a wedding venue, you got restaurants. It's just, there's a lot of synergy there. And so we were actually originally, we're going to build it above Cherokee. That's why we put Cherokee at the back of the building, is because we were going to fill the front up with the hotel and the upstairs. So that was the actual plan. And then we ended up having to buy that building across the street because we were concerned that we were going to lose that parking. And so we bought the building and knew we were going to do a hotel. And so that's just kind of what we're going to do. I mean, it's going to be about 31 rooms, hopefully 31 rooms. Should be super, super cool, decorated. I mean, it's going to be nice. It's kind of got a mid-century modern look. And then we also are adding a rooftop bar on the backside of it. So it'll be... I don't know how many seats just yet, probably 100, 150 on inside and out, with a bar. Very similar to what you see in Chattanooga at the Flying Squirrel. You got an inside-outside bar, so the bartender can wait on the customers inside, and then there's a garage doors that open up for the other. So it's that kind of pushed the project back, because initially we were just building a hotel, and my wife insisted that we do a rooftop bar, and you know, it's hard to argue with your wife. All the things that I put her through, at least I could do. So, and it's a great idea. Don't get me wrong. Just added a bunch of zeros to the project, so, yeah, and slowed the process down.
And I've always thought, like, you've got, what, 10 hotels by the interstate, maybe more than that, that stay pretty full, hundreds, thousands of rooms, and there's not a product in downtown Dalton, excluding the downtowner, that's a little different.
Agreed.
It just seems logical that your person driving down 75 and they've got 20 options to stay by the interstate and then one to stay downtown, and staying downtown, you could sort of experience Dalton, go and eat breakfast at the Oakwood, you know, hang out downtown. It just feels like that makes sense. Was that part of the philosophy?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have an extremely, the occupancy rates by I-75 are extremely high. I think the Hampton Inn for years was the number one Hampton Inn in the whole fleet of Hampton Inns as far as occupancy rates. Yeah. And so just like anything, that's the key to making money in the hotel business. And yes, we wanted to figure out a way to keep people, bring them downtown. There's definitely a certain sect of the population that would prefer to stay downtown. Getting them here will be a tough deal probably early on until you start building up some reviews. You'll probably, your rates would be a little bit cheaper than they would be if they were by the interstate, because you're going to have to kind of get them down here.
Yeah.
Hopefully once they stay once and see the awesomeness of the hotel, plus experience the rooftop bar and the Oakwood and Cherokee and everything else downtown has to offer, it'll be a win. But you got to get it done at this point. And the good thing about it too is the parking, right? So we need the parking really bad during lunch, and so that's when hotel parking disappears. So it's a great use of that parking lot, because they'll come in, they'll check in after four, typically seven or eight. They'll check into the hotel. Well, the restaurant Oakwood closes at 8:30, so they're not going to be in the way at the Oakwood, and the customers will be gone by 11 when the Oakwood crowd starts rolling in. So it's a great use of the parking space.
You've really built this one stop shop there, in that somebody can have dinner at Cherokee, stay at the hotel, and go have breakfast at Oakwood. I mean, you're invested in downtown. How do you get them to see the rest of downtown instead of just coming to your block and then running back to the interstate?
Well, I mean, I think that's up to everybody. That's everybody else's business. No, but I think that they do. I think that they will, especially if they stay longer than a night, right? Nobody wants to eat the pizza two nights in a row. Yeah. So I think they will. I mean, I think Hamilton Street's got a lot of great places to go. So I think it will. Anytime you add 50 new customers on a daily basis, let's say on average, to a downtown pool, I mean, over time, it's going to help. And these are customers that are going to come in, and they're not going to be concerned with pricing as much as experience.
Yeah.
So I think it's a win.
So here we are, it's spring, we're in the midst of graduation season. So we've got a new crop coming out of Dalton State this coming weekend. I mean, what do you tell all these students coming out into the business world for the first time? I mean, what piece of advice are you giving them now, what, 16 years removed from their 16, 17 years removed?
You know, I always tell, when I talk to people, I always try to tell them it's not necessarily what you do, it's how you do it. So if you work hard, and you leave your options open, so don't get into a lot of debt, so that you can be flexible with stuff. You know, there's opportunities. I think I always tell people Dalton's like the land of opportunities for people. I mean, you've got a college, you've got a good youthful workforce. I mean, the high school kids around here are 10 times better than the high school kids we experienced anywhere else. And so there's opportunity. We got cheap utilities. You know, we've got a nice industry base that will help grow your business. So that's what I tell people is, I'm gonna just, you know, work hard. No matter what you do, work hard at it. Take risk while you're young, because the older you get, it gets harder to take risk as you start adding kids and a lot of debt. But just know that, you know, everybody sees our success now and says, wow, he's got it made. But they weren't there the first 3 years when we were working 90 hours for $300 a week. So just know that there's going to be there's a sacrifice window on everything, and success doesn't just happen overnight. It's a process, And, you know, also know that you're going to lose sometimes, but don't, you know, as long as the wins outweigh the losses, it's a good thing. And so don't get, when you open a Forest Park one day and it doesn't work out, or you open a Sweet Spot in Cartersville and it doesn't work out, don't quit, because there's still opportunities out there. But you got to be willing to take risk and work hard.
Well, thank you for coming here. I think people will not only be inspired by what you had to say, but very informed. I think you did a great job outlining some of the processes and everything with all your different projects that have been so impactful in Dalton. So thank you for coming. Everyone will have a podcast out next podcast probably in 30 days. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, guys. Thanks.